There is no church that is a gateway to heaven. It is not this church that will lead you to heaven. It is what we are saying and what you are hearing. For you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Take note of that. The most important aspect of every service in this church is the opening of the word. He was doing the wrong thing. Think about how this God works. He said, speak. He said, he stroked, but the water still came out. But he did the wrong thing. The water still came out. Clean water was not polluted water. It's a mystery church. And it's to make you fear this God. At the end of it all, what happened? Blessed be the name of the Lord. A death sentence was upon him. While the revival was going on, they didn't know that Moses was a dead man. Why? Because he did not do it according to the due order. Now let me come to the Pentecostals. In looking for souls, instead of casting their net the right way, what are they doing to catch attention? There is no more anything that can attract anybody in the world to come to Christ. What did they organize? Football competition. Football. Breakfast. Holy Ghost dinner. Suya night. Oh! How are the mighty falling? Now they are organizing beauty pageant in the church. They are organizing cultural show in the church. They are bringing comedians on the wall to come to the altar and make the people laugh. Hey, instead of vigil, they are doing night party in the church to attract the world to the church, so that when they come, they will keep the word. That is not the due order. Romans chapter 10. Can we stand up and pick a text? Chapter 10 and verse 1. Brethren, Romans 10 verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they have been ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. My emphasis is that verse 2, where Apostle Paul himself was bearing record of the Jews, generally religious people, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They have a zeal. And so it is with Christianity today. And we see people that are very zealous for the things of God. Zealous. Go to the mountains. And you will see what I mean. Hundreds of people on top of the mountain fasting and praying. Go to the streets and see people evangelizing. Men and women. Come and see crusades everywhere. See TV stations. See people spending their money financing the gospel, supposedly. Come and see zeal. That was the condition of Israel. And it is always the same like that. It is the same condition of the church now. And I told you several times that when you come to a ministry like this, when you get connected to a ministry like this, for those of you watching us on our live program now, listen. You are not just looking at another ministry. A woman called me from Chad, the Republic of Chad, last night and told me all she was calling was to show appreciation and told me that their antenna for their TV was spoiled, and so when her husband came back, she begged the husband to fix it. The husband fixed it again for her over there in church. And she said she decided to scroll to see program. Said suddenly she saw a new station, Bright TV, and she saw it, Nigerian station. She said, "This Nigeria's again, another new one. Which one again be this one?" She said she scrolled past it. Another time again, she scrolled past. So one day she said, "Let me even see what these people they talk." She said, and she met me preaching. She said that is how she got hooked up to it. She was hearing something she has not heard before. And since then she has been addicted to the channel. And she only called to just appreciate God. And she was blessing me that I have changed her life. That now her spiritual life is revived. What I'm saying is, when you get connected to us, you are not just connected to another Pentecostal church. Always note that. And so when people begin to ask, if we live here, there is no bride assembly here, no bride assembly there, you are looking at us as a new church coming up that should have branches like others have. No! We've gone beyond that kind of Christianity. We've come back to how it should be. We are part of a restored ministry. Therefore, when you come here, church, don't just look at the anointing. Any other thing we do here, whether it is the healing, like our brother just testified, just watching us on the screen and receiving healing, or whatever it is, the prophetic gift, all these gifts, there is nothing you see here, there is no testimony you see here that you don't see higher than that in the denominations. Is it deliverance? Nyafu, nyafu. Is it discernment that they will tell you the day you were born and the day you will die and it will come to pass? It is there. So, what we measure in here is not the gifts, it's not the anointing, it is revelation. It is revelation. It is revelation. Praise the Lord. Because Apostle Paul was saying, that is the difference. Israel, they had a zeal of God. A zeal. But if you have a zeal and it is not according to knowledge, then you are wasting your time. And so many Christians are wasting their time and thinking they are serving God. The Bible says that God is looking for worshippers now. That we worship Him where? In bride assembly? In redeemed? Mantle of fire? Choosing? Catholic? Where is He looking for them to worship Him where? His spirit and in truth. It means you can worship Him in the flesh and in error. There is no church that is a gateway to heaven. No church. No church. It is not this church that will lead you to heaven. It is what we are saying and what you are hearing. For ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Take note of that. The most important aspect of every service in this church is the opening of the word. It's the opening of the word. When it's time for preaching, sit down very well. When anointing is sitting and vibrating, beg God to say, "Wait, make I hear something." Because you'll be vibrating anointing and something will be spoken, and you will not know what is going on. Praise the Lord. He said, "For they be ignorant of God's righteousness." You see, ignorant of God's righteousness. What have they done? Praise the Lord. They have established, they have refused, they have established their own righteousness. And they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And church, when we speak righteousness, listen church, the meaning of righteousness. Righteousness is your right standing with God. Listen, righteousness is more than living a holy life. Righteousness is more than living a holy life. A holy life is part of it and very important. But you may be living a holy life and still live in ignorance of God's expectation for your day. So it's more than that. When we say righteousness, it's not just living a holy life. Don't steal, don't fornicate, don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't do this, don't do this, don't paint your face, don't do this, don't do that. It is more than that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Righteousness. Listen, church, listen. You have to know what is to be done for you to be accepted before God. Listen, there was a time that the righteousness of God was in this way. That Abraham was told to leave his brethren, leave his family, and go to a land that I will show you. A spirit appeared to a man, Abraham. I am the Lord, your God, your creator. Move away from these idol worshippers and come and serve me, and I will show you where you will go. And he had a spirit talking to him. He believed it was God talking to him. And he obeyed and left his family, his people, to a land. Where are you going? God is saying, make I go. We are now, I don't know, but he said, make I go. He said, and God Abraham believed God. For that, it was counted to him for what? For righteousness. Can you see righteousness now? Can you see righteousness? Now, it is after he believed and came out and was going, that God saw that because you believe, I will establish a covenant with you. And this will be the sign of the covenant, the circumcision. But he believed first. Just as the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost is given to them that believe. Believe what? Believe your message for your day. That's what William Branham said. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is that you will believe the message for your day. There is God's standard for every age, for every day. Don't miss it, church. Don't miss it. And when it came to Moses, what was God's standard for righteousness? If you commit any sin, just take an animal. Come before the temple, before the high priest. Confess your sin. Instead of you to die, the animal will die. Once you shed that blood, that's all. That is God's own standard for righteousness, together with the law that Moses gave them. Abraham did not have one single law. The only law God gave Abraham is circumcise. So whether Abraham was smoking, it doesn't matter before God at that time. Whether he was a drunkard, it doesn't matter before God at that time. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. When it comes to the period also, hallelujah. Let's come a little closer. Let's come home now. In the period of when it was time for restoration, it began with John Wesley, Martin Luther. Listen, Martin Luther, the standard for that age was the word that was quickened to Luther. The just shall live by faith. That was all the light they had. Luther did not know about water baptism in the name of Jesus. Luther, it was recorded, was a smoker, smoking his pipe. And yet, he was righteous before God. Why? He received the word for his day. That was God's standard for that age. And if you do any other thing contrary to that, you are out of God's righteousness. You may be so holy. So also it was with John Wesley. You have to catch that. John Wesley was still a Trinitarian. John Wesley, hallelujah, was still baptizing in the titles instead of in the name. His revelation did not reach that level. Yet, that was God's standard for that age. If you turn down whatever he tells you, you are out of God's righteousness. And that is what Apostle Paul is saying here. For Jews, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Ignorance. Ignorance. And going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And we must submit ourselves unto God's own righteousness. And he prescribes it. When he came to the Jews, he was telling them, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Christ is the end of the law. Jews. That's why. Instead of accepting it, they were beating him up and down. They are beating Paul. They are suffering them. Frustrating them. Persecuting them. Killing them. Calling them liars. When, as far as God was concerned, I have left those laws of Moses. This is where I am now. In grace. Praise the Lord. Always take note of that. That is why it is so difficult for the children of God in this age that we are in to accept God's standard for righteousness. And God's standard for righteousness in this age is the message for the hour that God delivered to us through the ministry of the man William Marion Brown. And while others are telling you certain things that pertaining to godliness doesn't matter, he came to tell us that before God, it matters. And you are quick to compare yourself with other denominations, other churches, that you believe God is moving there. Why are you talking like this? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, church, and I preach the gospel according to science, for you to understand that science, the invention of means of transportation, was also speaking about how God is also moving according to his timetable. Church, a car is a means of transportation to make things better. Hallelujah. Science invented aeroplane. Aeroplane goes faster than a car, automobile. And suddenly again, praise the Lord, they move from aeroplane to what? To a rocket. Amen. That can take a man and place him on the moon. And people are not understanding. And that in this age, this Laodicean church age, that we see the rapture, that science developed the ability to have a form of ability that can defy the gravitational pull of the earth, the atmosphere here. It beats it, it breaks through it, and takes a man away from this earth and places him in another planet. Speaking of the rapture, that one of these days, God's own rocket will come and pack some people in this same age, far beyond automobile, far beyond jets and aeroplanes, through the rocket and place them in another planet. Then judgment will come upon this earth. You have to understand that. Therefore, the composition of a rocket is different from the composition, mechanical composition of a jet plane. The thing that makes the rocket move with a human being there, drop and there, is not in a plane. The power is not there. The message that will give you rapturing faith is different from the message of prosperity, healing, and deliverance. The power you need to lift you from this earth to glory is more than prosperity. It's more than that. That is God's righteousness for this age. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're looking at the topic I titled the due order. Let's take some reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Are we there? 1 Chronicles chapter 13. I'm going to do some long reading. You get the picture so that when I'm speaking, I'm making reference, you can understand what I'm talking about. I'm reading from verse 1 up to verse 13. Verse 14. Remember that David now has been made a king. He has taken over the kingship of Israel. Now he wants to set things in order. Throughout the days of Saul, disobedient Saul, the ark was not consulted because the ark was under the captivity of the Philistines. And now a righteous king has taken over. A man that is zealous for the things of God. A man that wants to do things pleasing before God. A man after God's own heart. God loved him so much. Now listen. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds. And with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and it be good, and it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together, from Shur to Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up, and all Israel, to Baalah, that is, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubs, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart. Note verse 7. Underline it, if it is not yet underlined. What did they do? They carried the ark of God in a new cart. Brand new cart. Hallelujah. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio, they are the sons, two sons of Abinadab. They drove the carts. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Gidor, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, note verse 12, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? If you will allow me, before I read verse 13. Listen, it was when that ark was stumbling to fall, and Uzzah tried to save the ark from falling and destroying, and God struck him dead. It was at that point that David knew that something was wrong. And the question that he should have asked before going to pick the ark, he was asking it only after the destruction had been done. Before going to pick the ark, you were supposed to ask first, we are going to pick the ark, how are we to carry the ark? You are going into the ministry. The first thing you should ask is, how am I to carry out this ministry? It is not enough that you heard the Lord say, I will use you mightily. But ask him, how will I serve you? It's very important. Don't wait. I have seen people until the church scatter. Until the ministry is frustrated and scattered. And you who are blind Who will not know when it comes to the things of the spirit? Be careful how you jump into it. Uzzah did not know that it was God that was stopping that revival. You are doing something wrongly. And Uzzah was going to help. And what happened? Praise the Lord. He lost his life for nothing. It is when your ministry has scattered that they are looking for prophet. Prophet, I don't know what happened. I don't know whether I'm doing something wrong. My ministry is not growing. I don't understand that. I will gather, they will scatter. I will gather, they will scatter. I don't understand. Is it more anointing I need? More anointing? Have you found out how God wanted you to serve Him in the calling He has called you? I'm speaking to the whole world. And I pray that somebody will catch what I am saying. Verse 13. So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house there 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Can you see the irony of it? Can you see the irony of it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The ark that was a curse and caused death somewhere was kept in another person's house and blessing flow nyafu nyafu there. Oh, glory be to God. Let's read further. Chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 1. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched it a tent. Then David said, this is where we are going now. Hallelujah. This is where we are going. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. None. You see? Because he had now taken time to go and find out. Come. How is the ark of God to be carried? He got the answer. Study to show thyself approved. A workman that need not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. When it comes to the things of God, don't jump into it anyhow. Because somebody is prospering in one way, does not mean if you enter that way too, you will prosper. And don't use your own idea to work for God. God is wisdom himself. And he alone has the wisdom of ministry. Stop your own using your own modern ideas to serve God. No matter how beautiful that idea is. Idea. Every time, idea. Let's, okay. I'll come to that. Let me finish this reading. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them has the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But Uzzah and Ahio, the two sons of Abinadab, were they Levites? Even if they were Levites, did God say, though the Levites are the only ones to carry the ark of God, God still told them how they will carry it. God did not say, yes, you are a Levite, yes. I've anointed you, yes. I have called you, yes. But you have a way to carry this ark. is not to bring a new vehicle and put the ark and put an animal under your supervision to go. No! That is not what he said. Okay, let's read on. Hallelujah. Verse 3. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites. I mentioned their names. Go to verse 11. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriah, Asaiah, and Joel, Shemaiah, and Eliel, and Aminadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves. They have to start with, you must first sanctify yourself. Before you go and carry the ark, sanctify yourself. A carnal people cannot please God in service. A carnal people cannot please God in service. Sanctify yourself. Because no matter how the angels stood before Zechariah the high priest, Joshua the high priest in Zechariah chapter 3, no matter how that angel tried to deliver, chase that demon that was standing by Zechariah, by Joshua the high priest in Zechariah chapter 3, that demon refused to go. He refused to go. Hallelujah. That demon refused to go. When you see that revelation that said, it is only Pastor Moses that can deliver you. When I stood there, I was looking at that revelation, and I was saying that how can a man deliver somebody? If he said only Pastor Moses will deliver you, he's not saying that only Pastor Moses has the anointing. Listen, church, I am more revelated than anybody to scatter my head with any. Praise the Lord. If God ever tell you to come to me for deliverance, it's because I know the secret of true deliverance. Not because I go say, you fall down, demon go. Now lie. You go sit down, go open Bible, show you. I have the revelation of a true deliverance. That is why he said only Pastor Moses. Because when you sit down with me today, brother, from wherever you come from, Ebonyi, I will ask you, have you been baptized? If you think I'm going to say, I bind you, Satan, out. Now lie, yo. Anybody can do that. But not everybody has a revelation for true deliverance. Praise the Lord. Or maybe you think that means I am very, very anointed because some people will now line up. Pastor, I know you are the only one that can deliver me. I know you are the only one that can deliver me. Then they will come and start disturbing me. Now lie, yo. If you come to me, I say yes, because I have the secret for a true deliverance. Number one, have you been baptized in the name of the Lord? For it is this sprinkling. He could not deliver you, that demon will not go. Because that angel in Zechariah chapter 3 left the demon and faced the high priest Joshua and saw the tattered garment on the high priest. And immediately concentrated on the change of garment. First, when the garment was changed, did you see that demon again? Did you see that angel do any deliverance again? That is the deliverance I do for you when you come to me. Take a look at your life. Why will a demon refuse to leave you? If he's making any claim over you, he's called the accuser of the brethren. There must be something he's accusing you of. There must be something he's accusing you of. Search the property you have. Search the idols in your heart. There are people that are years in this ministry. They are still sisters, still painting their face. Still painting their mouth. They hide under wet lips. Go close and see whether it is true wet lips. Who are you deceiving? It's between you and God. Continue like that. Me, I am enjoying my spiritual life. You every day struggle, rise, fight every day. And you are deceiving yourself. Continue. I have told you the truth. Who can you deceive? Deceive God or a demon? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So anytime you hear a voice say, only Pastor Moses can deliver you, this is the interpretation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's good to know your Bible. Hallelujah. I don't ever want to go beyond where God has placed me. I don't want to make a claim that I cannot back up. I want to walk within the grace that God has given me. Hallelujah. Nobody therefore can blow my head with any revelation. You see, say, now only me make rapture in this church. I'll tell you thank you, because right before my face, I have seen people receive the Holy Ghost. And I know that we are not going in the rapture by your revelation. We are going to by in the rapture according to the word. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we cannot be carried out. This only me in the God rapture. So that you know what you see. It has nothing to do with me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it is not a revelation. If you tell me, Pastor, God tell me that you are true a servant of God. You don't need revelation to know I'm a servant of God. Am I not serving Him? Can't you see me serving Him? Why do you need the gift to tell me that? So there are some revelation when you have, it is for you, not for me. Don't bother to tell me. It means nothing to me. It is for you to have faith in me. Not for you to tell me and think. And how many times did they come to me, Pastor? You know, you are an apostle. And I say, I am not an apostle. I'm a pastor. Which one be apostle again? I am a pastor. Am I not the pastor of this church? So which one be apostle again? Pastor, I see you. God lifted you above all the ministers in the whole world. You are number one. Now you is show. He no tell me say I be number one. Praise the Lord. And we are not looking for position. So why are you thinking that means anything? Am I looking for position? I want to be number one. All I want is to enter. I want to enter, that's all. David said he would rather be a doormat in the house of God. But he will be in the house of God. Anything I am, but let me be in the house of God. I want to be in the rapture. I want to be in heaven. It's enough for me. It's enough for me. It's enough for me. It's enough for me. I am not looking for position. Whether I'm number four or number ten. Now you know. Now you place him. Now you get that revelation. Those are the things that deviate people and divert people's attention. And before you know what, pride sets in. Oh, glory be to God. How many people are understanding what I'm saying? Okay, thank you. God bless you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Chapter 15. Verse 12 again. And said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. Now, see, I underline my own verse 13. I underline it. Because this is the crutch of the whole matter. For because you, the Levites, you did it not at the first. The Lord our God made a breach upon us in killing Uzzah. For that we sought him not after the due order. That's why our topic is the due order. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the priests and the Levites sanctify themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites, where did they bear it? According to Exodus chapter 25 verse 14. That is where it is. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the steps thereof, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I want you to note that David was sincere in his serving the Lord. Zealously serving the Lord. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. And his sincerity did not stop the breach. His sincerity did not stop somebody dying. God didn't say, since he's sincere, let me go along with him. God does not bend his principle for anybody. And ignorance, it is said, is no excuse in the law. Hallelujah. Because he did not do it according to the due order. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And why did he not do it according to the due order? Why did he fail to do it correctly? When the idea came to him to bring the ark, instead of going to the law of Moses, he called for consultations among the respected elders of Israel. When God calls you, you don't go to a man. You don't go to Bible school. When God calls you to do anything, you have to confirm that call from the scriptures. You are not the first he has called to do that job. How did he do it before? He never changes. He went for consultation. And what do you think they will tell you? It is that type of consultation that people who are looking for marriage, you want to marry, then you go to a prophet to confirm whether the man now your husband or not. Show me anywhere in the Bible that say when you want to marry, go to a prophet to confirm. And with that, as sincere as you are, you want to be in the perfect will of God, you will go and jam carnal people, and before you know what, in fact, sometimes the prophet will even end up telling you, all those people is wrong. God say, I am the husband. Yes, it happens. Wrong consultation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And because there was wrong consultation, what happened? Two things stand out in the movement of the ark back there. Number one, hallelujah, they got a new ark, a cart. You know what a cart is? It was the latest form of mobility at that time. A horse is in front, and then a beautiful cabinet behind, and then with some wheels, and then it's guided, decorated. I can imagine the type of decoration it will have. Oh my. Hallelujah. And an animal was carrying the word of God. An animal. And why is he telling us that till today, serpent seeds are preaching the gospel? Church, serpent seeds. Children of the devil, ministers of Satan, have carried the gospel. Her revival was following. Hey, hey, hey. All manner of instruments. And what happened? The second thing that happened was, hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, it became a family affair. The family that had the house where they kept the ark, his two children were the ministers in that fellowship. Ministry is not a family business. If God called you, he did not call your wife also like that. Somebody shout the due order. Say very loud. There is an order. There is an order. When it comes to ministry, there is an order. There is an order. And come and see revival. You revival. Revival. Hey, David, sincerely, it is in my time that the ark is coming. Come and see the dance that he was dancing. When I think when I say dance for this church, just imagine the type of dance the king will dance. Knowing that the presence of God was now coming down, they know the importance of that ark. You don't move until you go to the ark to inquire. That is where the glory of God was. That was where the testimony of witness, they were all there in that ark. Imagine how it will look like. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just cast your mind. If you go to another narration, it says there were 30,000. 30,000 strong revival. Men and women of Israel. 30,000. Imagine how big that fellowship is. 30,000. But now they have gone to millions. The same thing. Millions of people in a revival in this Pentecostal age. This foundation church age. And in all that revival, those who stood outside, they were looking at the great fellowship. Wonderful church. Come and see miracles, signs and wonders. See people falling under anointing. All of them don't fall down. They don't stand up. See miracle. See testimonies. Hallelujah. But in it all, while you were there rejoicing, God was angry. God was not happy with them. That is the pitiable aspect of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What did he bring upon that congregation? Death. Death. He brought death. Each time you go out of the due order, we that are leaders, you mislead people, you are leading people to death. And there is something interesting about God. It's not the person that is leading that wrong movement that dies. So it is somebody else that is following his instruction that dies. Answers. Not to count the number of people in Israel. He woke up one day, Satan steered him to do that. Against all advice, he said he wanted to know the number of people in Israel. They advise him. But the king's word is final. And what happened? See, if you are in a ministry and you know that the pastor is doing something wrong, and you point it out to him scripturally, and he still refuses, carry your Bible and run out of that fellowship. Because after that counting, it was not David that died. God sent a pestilence on Israel. One day, how many people died? 70,000 died. 70,000 died. But the man that caused it was still alive. That's why he said, run for your life. The man that is your pastor, he's a fornicator. He's a liar. 419. He then mixed the anointing with occult. Occult. He's a complete serpent seed. Instead of God to strike him, he's increasing the anointing. Instead of killing David, God is saying, David, the man after my own heart. But the people that obeyed him, that sit down, judge them, come, they count them. 70,000 of them died. I hope you study the Bible to know how to walk with God. So you stay in a church, you are wasting your time. You only end up dying when you know what they are doing there is wrong. You better sit at home than to go and die for nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Welcome to the Bright Voice.
My
Father and my God, you earn my last breath. You have the final say over my life. That's why I must worship you, Papa. I must worship you because before the foundation of the world, you put my name in the book of life. I must worship you for the sacrifice of my body, Lord. To worship
you. Because you love me so.
There is no church that is a gateway to heaven. It is not this church that will lead you to heaven. It is what we are saying and what you are hearing. For ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Take note of that. The most important aspect of every service in this church is the opening of the word. He was doing the wrong thing. Think about how this God works. He said, speak. He said, he struck. But the water still came out. But he did the wrong thing. The water still came out. Clean water was not polluted water. It's a mystery church. And it's to make you fear this God. At the end of it all, what happened? Blessed be the name of the Lord. A death sentence was upon him. While the revival was going on, they didn't know that Moses was a dead man. Why? Because he did not do it according to the due order. Now let me come to the Pentecostals. In looking for souls, instead of casting their net the right way, what are they doing to catch attention? There is no more anything that can attract anybody in the world to come to Christ. What did they organize? Football competition. Football. Breakfast. Holy Ghost dinner. Suya night. Oh! How are the mighty falling? Now they are organizing beauty pageant in the church. They are organizing cultural show in the church. They are bringing comedians on the wall to come to the altar and make the people laugh. Hey, instead of vigil, they are doing night party in the church to attract the world to the church, so that when they come, they will keep the word. That is not the due order. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There is only one man. Only one man that God turned. Instead of dealing with the people, he dealt with him. That is Moses. But watch what happened. What God was using Moses on to teach us is that all of us to know that he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. And to whom much is given, more is also demanded, not just expected. If there is any human being that has seen the glory of God more than anybody else on earth here, it's Moses. If there is anybody therefore that should be more careful with God, it should be Moses. And all of us that God is using, all of us that are gifted, God expects us to be more careful with him than others who don't have the privilege that we have. You see vision. You hear his voice. You see angels. You speak. He speaks back to you. You see? You pray. He answers chap chap. You have challenged him and he came down. What is expected from such a person is that you will be more careful with that God than others. So when he wants to strike you, your own will be without mercy. I'm telling you something. You don't hear such things anymore. That's why people act anyhow with the grace that God has given them. And before you know what, instead of speaking to the rock, what did Moses do? He struck the rock. But like I said, when he told him to strike the rock, he struck the rock. Water came out. Was there no revival? There was a revival. Now, the second time now, the same condition comes in. But watch it. Amen. He did not tell him this time to strike, because you can't strike Christ a second time. What did he say? Speak. But did Moses speak? He did the wrong thing. That's the emphasis. He struck the rock. But he did the wrong thing. One will expect that the water will not come out, because he didn't do it correctly. But did the water come out? Yes, the water came out like before. And the people were drinking water, and there was revival. Moses did the wrong thing, but there is revival. That's why I told you, even under a woman pastor, you can receive the Holy Ghost. Even a fornicator pastor, you can receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Anywhere. Amen. That's why I say, you just play your own part. Leave the leader for God to judge him. You say they carry your money, they buy car, they build houses. You have done your own. You pay your tithe. God will bless you. Leave him to do what he's doing with the money. For every man shall give account of himself. It's too much. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He did the wrong thing, but water came out doing the wrong thing. Miracle took place doing the wrong thing. I'm emphasizing it. He was doing the wrong thing. Think about how this God works. He said, speak. He said, he struck, but the water still came out. But he did the wrong thing. But water still came out. Clean water out. It was not polluted water. It's a mystery, church. And it's to make you fear this God. But the end of it all, what happened? Blessed be the name of the Lord. A death sentence was upon him. While the revival was going on, they didn't know that Moses was a dead man. Why? Because he did not do it according to the due order. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because when we talk about the modern day revival, for you to understand this, it's the same thing that is happening. While you are here enjoying Pentecostal movement in this Adoration Church age, come and see mighty revival. Come and see more people attending churches than ever before. Come and see prosperity. This is the age where every pastor now wants to arrive and announce your arrival by owning a private jet to tell you how much money they have. This is a period now where churches are designed. The design of church is competition to see who has the best design. This is the time of prosperity. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. But while you are boasting in this age like that, how does God look at that revival? Revelation chapter 3. Are we there? This is the message to the Laodicean church age. And this is the age that this scripture is referring to. Verse 14. Are we there? Praise God. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, this thing said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. But are they not saying they are hot now? Are they not saying they are hot now? Everybody hot. I would thou were cold or hot. Hallelujah. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Do you know the meaning of spew thee out of my mouth? Eh? What he's saying there is, you will not hear from me again. You will not hear my word again. And when you don't hear God's word, you must still say something now. Are you hearing me? You are not hearing God, but you must say something. So that is why the Bible says, hallelujah, that in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines what? The commandments of men. They'll be spilled out. Now let's read on. Because thou sayest, it's underlined in my own Bible, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. See, that is your testimony. I read it again. He said, because that says, I am rich. Our budget is in the billions. My God is a good God. And increase with goods. Come and see the own universities, hospitals, banks, estates, landed property. They own it everywhere. And have need of nothing. My God shall supply all my needs. But see how God looks at them. And knowest not that thou art wretched. You are saying you are rich, but God says you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You see? Can you see what I'm saying? So how does God look at you as an individual in your testimony? The testimony of who you say you are in Christ is heaven saying amen to it. This is the age. That is why you must appreciate why God sent us a message in this age. Oh. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Hallelujah. I'm not speaking against prosperity. Poverty is a curse. I'm not speaking against prosperity. Prosperity is the children's meat. A Christian must prosper. You must not go and beg for your needs to be supplied. No. When it's time to pay your rent, you should have money to pay. To pay your school fees, you should own your own house. You should own your own house. Yes, it's normal. But I am looking at where they have shifted emphasis to. While in this age, the things they are boasting of, God has not accepted that for righteousness. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's true now. Because the same thing he had to tell that woman at the well. In John chapter 4 verse 22. He said, you worship a God you don't even know. Worshiping a God you don't even know. The first thing you do when you give your life to Christ is seek to know Him. Apostle Paul prayed that prayer in Philippians chapter 3. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, be made conformable. Praise the Lord. To be conformed, that is our destiny. To His image. That is the difference. I keep saying it. Between me and so many other believers and particularly ministers. Is that where God arrested me. He took time and arrested me while I was in detention. Where there was no distraction, nothing. And release an insatiable desire upon me to know Him. I wanted to know the God of the Christians. And by the time I was released, I had a reasonable knowledge enough to remain sane in serving Him. And I'm not saying I have finished knowing Him. Every day He makes Himself known more and more in diverse ways that will give me reason to love Him and give me reason to fear Him and give me reason to stay with Him. But unfortunately, William Branham titled a message, Doing God a Service Without It Being His Will. You are not looking for the will of God first. You're just jumping into the ministry. The reason is, you are looking at some other minister. As soon as you start to see vision, you know now, ministry has started. There are people that are looking for the anointing for the wrong purpose. If God give me this kind of grace, this kind of anointing, where they see these ministers, they operate here. Hey. Oh God, give me now. And God is looking at you, the reason why you need it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Any grace you have, any gift you have, that does not produce fear for God and love for God and the things of God, that grace, you are only a borrowed vessel. And the truth is this: God does not use anybody and dump you. Listen, church. God does not use anybody and dump you. I am telling you a mystery. It's a fact. You choose which one you want. There are two groups of people serving God. There are borrowed vessels that God anoints to do what he wants to do. But they have nothing else beyond the servant position. Then there are his own children that he also uses. Now those that are his own children that he uses, he does something in them that keeps them to fear him and keeps them to love him and reveals something to them that those other servants will never know. And you can never serve God beyond the level, the revelation you know of him. But each of them has a reward. Listen, hallelujah. Any man that is of a household, there are two groups of people in the house. One are your children. The other one are your servants in the house. The servants in the house, what do you give them for good service? What do you give them? You pay them their salaries. You take care of them. You give them rewards. And they are quick to come and testify. Praise the Lord. I was very poor before I started. But when I started the ministry, I had one shirt, one trouser. One shoe, one shirt, one this one. All of them fed up. But now, see my three jeeps parked outside. Oh my. Go to my village. I have the best house in my village. Yes. Now I am wearing designer clothes. Yes. Yes. All the people that were laughing at me before, since my ministry started, we are there now. That is the testimony of a servant. And it is God that bless you with all that blessing, because he can never go beyond those testimonies. That is his reward. God does not use anybody and dump you. But there is another group. The children. How many of them are here? Hallelujah. Your own reward is eternal life. Your own reward is to live with him eternally. Oh, you have to understand that. Not only that, plus the things here. While the servant is struggling to acquire earthly things, you are struggling to make your life pleasing before him. Because all he has belongs to you anyway. Hallelujah. My son will not pray for him, for house. He knows that the house I own belongs to him. Hallelujah. So, but he knows that I will leave a will. Although it belongs to me, before he can own it, before I will give him a portion, a good portion, I have a will, I will write down. And that will is secret. He can never know it. It is between me and my lawyer. And it is not to be opened until I die. So that type of child, who knows that the father is very strict, he will be working hard for the father to give him a good portion. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. While the servant is working for what he will get, the son is working for what he will get hereafter. The attitude is different. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? We are heirs of the Father. Oh,
we are joint heirs.
Hey,
we are sons. We are children
of the kingdom,
of the kingdom.
You are family.
We are family.
Oh yes,
we are all.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want a ministry that will produce Christians. I want a ministry that will have people who will look at everything I own belong to God. I want the people who will live a life giving glory to God. I want the people that will fear God. And I want the people that will love God. I want the people that will be connected to heaven and disconnected from worldliness. And the only way to do it is to follow God according to the due order. Cain and Abel, they came to offer sacrifice. It's another service. Then the two groups of people in the church, one was accepted, the other was not accepted. Why? Because he did not do it according to the due order. What was the sacrifice for? The reason for the sacrifice will determine how you will offer the sacrifice. There's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Sacrifice of thanksgiving is to bring of the fruit of your harvest. That is thanksgiving. Don't bring the sacrifice for thanksgiving and offer it as a sin offering. That was the difference. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And they came there to offer sacrifice for their sin. The sin of their father, for the atonement of their sin. And somebody is bringing sacrifice of thanksgiving instead of the sin offering for their sin. You see? So how are you serving God? And God accepted one and rejected the other. Cain's own was rejected. Abel was accepted. And instead of Cain to humble himself and do what Abel did, that is the difference between the serpent seeds and the children of God. There is nothing in them to take correction. Even when God himself comes to tell you how to be saved. How to be saved. No matter, there's nothing in them to receive it. Deviance is their identity. Deviance. Praise the Lord. And so, but why was Abel's own accepted? Abel had a revelation that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And he offered it according to the due order, and his own was accepted. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that is why in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, the gospel that they received did not profit them because they did not mix what they had with faith. Faith there is revelation. For a service to be accepted before God. Listen. For a service, anything you do in serving God, for it to be accepted, there are 6 conditions you must fulfill. There are 6 conditions you must fulfill. Number 1 is John chapter 6. Number 1, John chapter 6. See the way he put it. I will rush through it. Put it down. Go and study prayerfully. Hallelujah. John chapter 6, verse 28 and verse 29. Amen. Amen. See, let me read it from verse 26. Let me read from verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." That is why some people are seeking Jesus. Verse 27. "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life." That is the one you should labor for. The one that will lead you to eternal life. Not just the one that will buy you cars and aeroplanes and houses and properties, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him, the Son of Man, had God the Father sealed, appointed to give us that meat that will lead us to eternal life. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might walk the works of God?" What shall we do? Acceptable sacrifice now. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God." All of us, shall we read that sentence? All of us, shall we go? "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he had sent." And that's a very deep statement. You see what is God's righteousness now? See what is God's righteousness? And there are people that in this age have refused to believe on him who God has sent in this age. Therefore, none of your sacrifice will be acceptable before God. Let that sink very well. You want to work for God, believe on him whom he has sent. And who he has sent is not Pastor Moses Alu. They asked John the Baptist, who was pulling crowd, "Who are you? Tell us, who are you? Who are you? Tell us. Because, are you that prophet? Are you the Messiah? He said, "I am not." He knew who he was. But he said he was the voice of one, Isaiah chapter 40. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. The prophecy there in Isaiah 40 is what I am fulfilling now. Make straight the way of the Lord. I came to tell you about he that is to come. The Messiah you have been expecting, he is the one I came to prepare. In this age, God sent us somebody also. Hallelujah. He came here with a ministry of restoration. Restore us back to Bible Christianity. Remove us from the errors we got entangled with in Christianity. Because in this age, he spilled this age out of his mouth. But now he is restoring us. Amen. Hallelujah. So who are you, Pastor Moses? Because now you will see. Who am I? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That ministry, my ministry is the ministry of perfection. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. I am a pastor. That is my ministry. What am I to do? Hallelujah. To warm the food that has been stored by he that God has sent in this age. Warm it and present it afresh again to the people of God. That is what we are doing here. That's what we are doing here. That's what we are doing here. Believe on him. And I'm telling you, as many as refuse that message that God sent to us in this age whatever revival that is going on, I can say it is thus say the Lord. You are out of God's righteousness for this age. God is not in it. And what it produces is death. But they are still alive. Yes, the Bible says, a woman that liveth in pleasure. What did the Bible say? Is dead while she liveth. That woman is the church. That liveth in pleasure is dead. God sees you as dead. And where the word of God is not there, it's darkness that will be there. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. This water, hypertension, diabetes, ulcer, cancer, HIV, AIDS, cough, chest problem is over in the name of Jesus. I declare this water a hormonal drug in the name of Jesus. I declare this water the medicine of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. That is a gateway to heaven. It is not this church that will lead you to heaven. It is what we are saying and what you are hearing. For ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Take note of that. The most important aspect of every service in this church is the opening of the word. He was doing the wrong thing. Think about how this God works. He said, speak. He said, he struck. But the water still came out. But he did the wrong thing. The water still came out. Clean water was not polluted water. It's a mystery church. And it's to make you fear this God. But the end of it all, what happened? Blessed be the name of the Lord. A death sentence was upon him. While the revival was going on, they didn't know that Moses was a dead man. Why? Because he did not do it according to the due order. Now let me come to the Pentecostals. In looking for souls, instead of casting their net the right way, what are they doing to catch attention? There is no more anything that can attract anybody in the world to come to Christ. What did they organize? Football competition. Football. Breakfast, Holy Ghost dinner, suya night. Oh, how are the mighty falling? Now they are organizing beauty pageant in the church. They are organizing cultural show in the church. They are bringing comedians on the wall to come to the altar and make the people laugh. Oh, instead of vigil, they are doing night party in the church to attract the world to the church, so that when they come, they will keep the word. That is not the due order. Praise the Lord. Number two. So you see, the first point now is, if you are serving God now out of this message, that service is not acceptable before God for the purpose of the rapture. It's not acceptable. Then number two. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It must be according to his word that he, God, has spoken. Whatever you are doing must be according to his word that he has spoken. In 1 Kings chapter 18, there was the Mount Carmel showdown. And after the prophets of Baal cried all day for us to prove who is with God, whose God is God indeed. Serve Baal or serve the God of Israel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See one scripture there. 1 Kings chapter 18. Verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, after he had rearranged the altar. What did he say? Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. And that is why the fire came down. If he had done it by his idea, the fire will not come down. And if you want the fire to come down, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then you must have to do it according to his word. Moses did not go to the rock according to the word of God. You saw what happened. Hallelujah. So David, it was not according to the word. The movement of the ark was not according to the word. Therefore, it was not acceptable. No matter how beautiful that ark was, that service was not acceptable. The word of the Lord says the Levites will use staffs. Two staffs. One here, and two Levites behind, two Levites in front, and they will lift the ark and carry the staff on their shoulder. That is how the word of the Lord came to Moses on how to move the ark. And not some new modern ideas. There's nothing like new anointing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is how Moses said it. And in this age, the word of the Lord concerning water baptism, he said, baptize, he said, for justification, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? After the gospel, everyone that asks you, what shall we do? To be saved, what shall we do? What did Peter say? And that is what we must say also. The first thing to tell the people is, repent! And be baptized. In the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, if you want to give your life to Christ, come to the altar. Say after me, Father, I believe. There is no prayer in the Bible that is to lead somebody to Christ with any particular prayer to recite. Repent is repent. And somebody who has not repented can repeat after you. He that is all salvation is all about. So you have a bunch of people that have not died. Amen. We should die to ourselves. Die to worldliness. Die to sin. Die to our own nature. But so many of us, we are coming to Christ the way we have been. Even more alive than we were before. Adding iniquity upon iniquity. And then somebody is telling you, you are saved. Why Christianity is rotting the way it is today is because nobody is truly getting repented before coming to Christ. Don't come to Christ until you have decided to repent. If not, you are deceiving yourself. Apostle Paul spoke about godly sorrow that worketh repentance. You have to be convinced first. When you are convinced of your estate before God, then you will be convicted. And it is only when you are convicted that you can sentence yourself to death. You are the one to sentence yourself to death. I will not do those things again. It is only at that estate that God can help you to keep to your decision. But these days, they are not following the due order anymore. Repentance is no longer preached. Justification is no longer preached. Holiness is no longer preached. Without holiness, no man will see God. And people are thinking that anointing that is making people fall down is the evidence that God is there. No! The evidence that God is in our midst is not the falling down under anointing. Praise the Lord. The evidence that God is with us is that every day people are becoming better Christians. The sinners are getting converted. Every day you can see that what I was yesterday, I am better today. Anytime you go to church and come back, you will sit down and begin to think about your life. That is the evidence that God was in that fellowship. If not, you are just coming and going the way you are. Your faith will never be accepted before God. And let nobody so present salvation to look as if it's the same thing as joining a club, a social club. People have asked us, what do we do to become members of this church? Any register where they put their name? Yes, there is a register where our names are put. That register already has our names, and the names were written from the foundation of the world. It is only those whose names are there that come together to worship our God. Not the one we write here. What of my baptismal certificate? Praise the Lord. The baptismal certificate that we have is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That is a confirmation that God has accepted your faith. If you have not received the Holy Ghost, then, hallelujah, you have not yet been accepted by God. And quickly, let me just tell you this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I am giving you reason to go get the Holy Ghost. I am not condemning you who have not yet received the Holy Ghost. I am trying to tell you to see every reason to make your calling and election sure. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Repent and be baptized. And the due order is not Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The due order is in the name of the Lord Jesus, which is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Any other thing, you are out of the due order. You are not in the due order. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the gift and the speaking in tongue is not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And if any man brings you out and tells you, open your mouth, you want the Holy Ghost? 1, 2, 3, go! Anything that comes, speak. You see, you have received the Holy Ghost. He is not doing it according to due order. Every speaking in tongue in the Bible, they speak as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance, not as the pastor said they should repeat after him. I know I'm talking to somebody. Praise the Lord. A woman that serves and occupies the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist, you are out of the due order. The word of God says, I permit not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. In the priesthood, in the Old Testament, in the Aaronic priesthood, there was no woman priestess from the house of Levites. Levites had daughters, but only the sons were priests, ministering in the temple. Jesus Christ did not appoint any woman apostle. There's a reason for it. Apostle Paul gave the reason. Therefore, any woman pastor that stands and preaches and gives instruction of righteousness, occupying any office of leadership in the church, giving men and women instruction, you are out of the due order. It is thus said the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you have no right to carry your Bible and go and witness for Christ. Listen, church. Don't carry your Bible and go and witness for Christ until you fulfill Acts 1 verse 8. For ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then ye shall be my witnesses. You can only be a witness for Jesus when you have received that power. And that power is the power that transforms a sinner to a saint. The power that casts out devils. The power to preach the gospel. You don't go with English and grammar to preach the gospel. Nobody will listen to you. Wait and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with the power. That is the due order. That is the due order. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't call yourself an evangelist until you are sure that you can go in the region of the occultic people and challenge the occultic powers and they will bow before you. There are people that go and look for trouble, like the seven sons of Sceva. They see TB Joshua. We touch somebody's head and they begin to confess. Then they do. Tala. Tala. And if the person doesn't fall, you see that. You must fall. He said, Paul, I know. That Jesus, I know. But who are you? Copy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Until you are not anointed, until people fall under anointing, under your ministration, then they say you are anointed. No, that is not the due order. No. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, ye shall receive power. Power. He that believeth in me, the works that I do, ye shall do also. And more than what I have done, shall you do. Why? He said, because I go to the Father. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The original sin. Original Christianity.
The original one.
Oh,
is what I believe.
The
Son of Man.
We are called unto adoption
full authority and power.
Sleepless will wake and join
for translation
in this time.
Gentle day,
be glory,
hallelujah,
hallelujah, to our God. Oh,
who's original?
Hallelujah,
the original.
The original one.
Our eyes of understanding.
Ears open up.
He has opened up
power and sweet victory is ours.
Your victory is ours.
Through
a chain down in our past.
Through yes,
the jubilee
and
sound.
I'll be a breast for
hey, and we have rest for
our God.
To our God.
Oh, who's
original?
Hallelujah.
Original.
The original seed.
We are traveling
on the right road.
Oh, yes, sir.
We are traveling on the right road.
There
is one way
to the city of
We are traveling. We are traveling
on the right,
on the right road.
If you will go,
I'm on my way. This
world is not my home.
I'm just your passing
to my treasures.
I have a friend. I have no friend. If heaven is not my home, if heaven is not my home, I can't be alone anymore.
There's a country far
beyond the starry sky.
Yes, our home.
There's a city where I never come so
now. If we are faithful,
I am very well.
You are where you are.
when I forced to remember my end is just a heavy soul. I love the truth that's waiting on the Lord. The trouble is not my final hope. But I see that I have
Once again,
we shall carry on.
As I die,
my eyes will see
the blood
of that day.
Sisters, let me hear the brother. Everybody,
but until then,
but until then,
my eyes will go
on
seeing.
Hallelujah. See that one moment, I never finish.
I have a message unto you. Hallelujah.
A message unto you.
He is recorded.
He is the one.
Hallelujah.
It is only that you look and live.
Look and live.
Look and live.
My brother,
live.
Look to Jesus.
Look to Jesus now.
And live.
Hallelujah.
It is only that you
and me.
Hallelujah. There is a due order. That is why I get very worried when people who have been raised up from this ministry. Stay with me here, some of them, 10 years, ministers. And they leave this place. And they start their ministry. You see nothing resembling where they come out from. Very painful. The due order. A prophet cannot be a pastor. It's the due order. There is the office of a prophet and there is the office of a pastor. A prophet cannot be a pastor. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And somebody called me from Spain or so. Was it Switzerland? Yesterday. And he was telling me, he came across our broadcast too. And all he called to find out He said, what is the secret? And this is the first time he's seen a ministry where the pastor is there and there are other ministers, and it is not a one-man show ministry. He's watching. When I finish, another brother will collect microphone and minister even in a higher grace than me. And yet we are all together. I say, what is the secret? The secret is simple. We are following the due order. Following the due order. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's the due order. It's the due order. Nothing more. Nothing more. Hallelujah. Nothing more. It's the due order. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Church, listen. I have a duty to perform. Everything I say here, I know one day I will give account of it. And I'm telling you the truth. Everything I say here, I have been preaching. This ministry started, was commissioned 1st November 1998. 14 years ago. Listen, church. And I have been preaching, and it is on air. Nobody within the entire message circle anywhere has been able to pick anything I preach and say it is contrary to the Bible. I did not go to any Bible college, but I positioned myself humble enough to stay within the grace that God has given me. I have told you several times. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Identify your own calling and remain there. It is in your calling that God will lift you up. If you leave your own and go to another person's, confusion you will create. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I am not saying that these prophets, you cannot go and start your own ministry. That is not what I'm saying. But I have a duty to say it and teach you to follow the due order. But every man, at the end of it all, we go the way it is written of him. Because no matter how I speak against charging, even in this ministry, there are people that still charge. No matter how I speak against fornication, there are people sitting down here that still commit fornication. No matter how I speak against a man beating his wife, and everything I speak, I point you to the Bible, there are still men here that maltreat their wives. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. That's why I told you that the church is a mixed multitude. The world is a sea of people. The fisherman casts his gospel, net gospel, and drag all manner of people when they come to church. There's one category that are even in this church now, the tortoise. Two groups are in this church. One, electric fish. The other one, tortoise. You know who electric fish is? You think say fish na fish. Until you go, you touch them, you'll be shocked. Hey! Me, I think say na Christian. Na fish, but na electric fish. Then tortoise. No matter how you pour water for tortoise, it enter your body. No matter how I preach here. No matter how I preach here, he go carry a head, enter his shell. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Pentecostal churches, listen to me. Ogachio, Bishop, Archbishop, listen to me. There is God's due order for winning souls. See, it was demonstrated. Peter toiled all day. Look, there are two groups of people here. Let me face the first one. They are inter-message believers. Inter-message believers, let me start with you. Around the world, you are hearing me now. Why are you small in your groups? Every church, little group. If you meet an enter message church that they reach 100, the pastor is bigger than Archbishop. Who? Ha! Listen, church. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ met Peter one time. He said they toil all day. They couldn't catch any fish. Enter message believers, they have been toiling all these years. They can't catch a fish. They are wondering how come we here in Brother Assembly will they catch a fish. Jesus Christ said, cast your net to the right side. There is a right way of casting the net and there is a wrong way of casting the net. And when they cast the right way, hallelujah, the drought was so much that the net was breaking. Yes. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Just do it according to the due order. What did he say? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. In your ministry, you are lifting up William Branham instead of lifting up Jesus Christ. So God will not draw up anybody to you, because you will wait for William Branham to draw them. Because William Branham you are drawing. And William Branham is dead and gone. Idolizing a man because they did not catch what he was saying. Come back to this Bible. God is obligated to back it up. Do it the way the Bible says it should be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They obeyed God. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They went about and God was confirming what they were saying with signs and wonders following them. If you are saying the truth, heaven is obligated to back it up. Back it up. And let me tell you, enter message believers, listen very well. This is what I, the Lord himself, ministered this to me. If you are going to carry this entire message and try to go using it and go the denominational way, God himself will come back and frustrate that ministry. And there are enter message churches that have general overseer with another name, but they're the same thing. They have branches that they open. Branches with headquarters, with the chief apostle going around. They collect tithe and offering. One of them is in Sapele. Hallelujah. One of them is in Sapele. He has married his third wife now. He's living with two wives. Yes! He has branches everywhere. Amen. There's another one in Lagos, somewhere at Ajagbadi. I just got to know that through somebody who called us after watching us on the air. I was asking some questions. And I discovered who where they belong. It's a shame on all of you following that kind of thing. You can't read the entire message. The message is William Branham preached. And see anything like that. And yet you are following. That's why frustration will continue to follow your ministry. Because you are not doing it according to the due order. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One man show ministry. One man show ministry is in the entire message more. Only one man will be used there. The reason is because he doesn't want anybody to share the tithe with him. Because they believe that the tithe belongs to the pastor and the pastor alone. So what are they in the ministry for? For their belly. How can God back that thing up? They don't invite me because I told them that you are robbers to stay and collect the tithe and say it belongs to you. What of the other ministers? What of the other needs in the church? Is that how the Bible says you should use tithe? Go back to the due order. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so when they demolish our church, they say, hey, God, don't catch them. Hey, God, don't catch them. Hey, God, don't scatter them. They're doing nonsense there. They're doing nonsense there. And God don't judge them. God don't judge. Enter message, believers. Of all the pastors, I know over 100 of them in Lagos here. Only two came officially from their church to come and felicitate with us. only two. The rest, Uncle, they were happy. When the Pharisees and Sadducees saw that Jesus Christ was crucified, they said, hey! God, don't catch up. All this nonsense he was doing. But the third day he resurrected. There shall be a resurrection in this ministry. Thy bones shall rise again.
Thy bones shall rise again.
Listen, church. Now let me come to the Pentecostals. Hallelujah. In looking for souls, instead of casting their net the right way, what are they doing to catch attention? There is no more anything that can attract anybody in the world to come to Christ. What did they organize? Football competition. Football. Breakfast. Holy Ghost dinner. Suya night. Suya. Hallelujah. Oh! How are the mighty falling? Now they are organizing beauty pageants in the church. They are organizing cultural show in the church. They are bringing comedians on the wall to come to the altar and make the people laugh. Hey, instead of vigil, they are doing night party in the church to attract the world to the church so that when they come, they will keep the word. That is not the due order. Give me that old time religion. Give me that
old time religion.
Give me that old time religion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was no football competition on the day of Pentecost. Peter gave the word and their hearts were big. There is nothing in the football competition that will make a sinner come there and give his life to Christ. Hallelujah. And you don't preach for people to come to your church. Don't look for members. It will not produce salvation. Don't advertise your church. If I be lifted up, can we stand up? Lift him up. Lift him up
high. My God is good. I will lift him up high. Anywhere I go, I will lift him up high.
Lift him up
high.
Lift him up
high. My God is good. Everywhere I go, I will lift him up higher.
Somebody shout due order. Shout it very loud. Due order. There's a due order. There's a due order. Go out of it. God, you are going out of God and you'll be alone. He will leave you. You're on your own. They go. You're on your own. They go. And the evidence you're on your own, they go, is that you now use your sense to gather the people together. And when the people are not coming, then the devil will come and entice the minister. I know something I will give you to make people to be coming to your church. So you go occultic. Yes, because you are on your own. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, we are going to pray, Lord. Let me never go in error. Lord, keep me in the right path for salvation. Let me serve you acceptably. Let me not come this far and still enter error. That is the prayer of a sincere Christian. I pray that prayer till now every day, because he said he who thinks he stands, he should take heed lest he fall. I need that prayer more than all of you. Why don't open your mouth and talk to God? Commit yourself before the Lord. Talk to God. Talk to God.
Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way that I'm going. Lead me straight to the land I'm going. Give me chance all the way with a song. Let us be my way every day we love. From the top again. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone. Lead us straight to the land I go.
Talk to him, talk to him.
With a song, with a song and a smile. Feel my way every day.